Praise the Lord. You know, my wife and I were talking about this. The Lord was kind of was like revealing this to me, just more in depth about how, you know, we so often think that the work of the ministry is for the pastor or ministers or stuff like that. But we have to remember that that God, you know, the only difference between a minister and one who's not ministering is the anointing to do so. Amen? Or it should be. Maybe it's some training and stuff in there, but even with training, unless you're anointed, you don't want to be ministering, amen? And so my biggest desire in life is to be anointed. What does anointed mean? It doesn't mean to be special or anything like that, but it means that God has put an ability on you, amen? And so that's an important aspect. But you know, it's like this. We were talking about it. It seemed to be it's more like this. If you're going, you know, if you picture a family going on a vacation, you all have the same destination. Amen. You're all looking to enjoy the same vacation. You'll enjoy it the same way. But one person's got to drive. And most cars don't have four or five steering wheels and four or five gas pedals and four or five brake pedals. And wouldn't it be strange if it did? We'd have a hard time getting places. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when you're teaching a kid how to drive, you wish it had more than one, but it still only has more than one. But you know, that's kind of the same thing, the same way with the church. The church needs to be led. You know, there needs to be direction for a local church, and I'm so thankful that we're taught these things. But that direction doesn't necessarily set the one apart as being more special than the rest or anything like that. Or more, we'll even say this, more necessary, amen? The body of Christ is only, you know, the body of Christ is the body of Christ, and that's all the parts coming together, amen? Even though you might use your hand more than maybe your foot some days, or your foot more than your hand some days, it doesn't mean the other one is less important. And so we have to know those things as we come together. You know, there is, and I'm not downplaying the role of the ministry offices and stuff like that either, because we should have an honor and respect for those, but it's not about the man or woman that stands in them as much as is about that the Lord is the Lord's ability and his desire, what he wants to do. Amen. Glory to God, because there's that other side where some churches have just thrown it all out and just said, well, it's, you know, that's just so-and-so, and it doesn't really matter who they are. Well, it does matter, amen? We want the right person in the right place, glory to God. And I don't know, it's just on my heart to share that with you, but it helped you nonetheless, amen? And I was interested, my wife was talking about all this stuff. Now, my wife had no idea what I was preaching tonight. The message tonight is called Warning to the Rich. Glory to God, hallelujah. And I'm glad you guys are all so excited about that, and we're all fired up, ready for church today, amen. But we do need to stir ourselves up, amen. We gotta be excited about it. You know, my wife was talking about, we were talking about thankfulness and stuff like that. You know, thankfulness is something that should be a key aspect to the believers, any believer in Christ, amen. You know, we were talking about this, how sometimes people are raised in the faith camp, they just expect certain things, and there should be an expectation in your life, but not expectation without thankfulness. Amen. Thankfulness is a very, very, very important aspect of the things of God. Amen. If we're not thankful, we're not going to see. In fact, we're told with our prayers they had thankfulness. Amen. Glory to God. And so we know that thankfulness is so we need to be thankful. And part of being thankful, and this does work into the message tonight, but part of being thankful is in your willingness and your desire to give and to be a blessing, amen? The way that I see it, you know, of course, the message is called Warning to the Rich, and there'd be a lot of people, maybe all of you sit here saying, well, I'm not rich, but we're gonna get into that, and we're gonna talk about what the Bible has to say about this. And this isn't a message to try to get money out of your pockets and get more money into the church or anything like that. This is a message that is very pointed and very directed at showing us that we need to be like our Heavenly Father, amen? Because we're going to see that being rich is a mindset, but it's also it's a mindset that's based in truth, but it's something that we need to see about ourselves. It's something that we have, because it's in your understanding of things that will affect how you act, amen? There's a lot of people that in the world, they act poor, and so they live poor, amen? You know, poverty is really a mindset. I said poverty is a mindset. Amen? Glory to God. We as children of God, we know this, that God has shall supply all our needs, right? According to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19, it's a good scripture, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, either he will or he won't. Either he speaks the truth or he lies, right? That's what the word says, right? I've been meditating, you know, I was meditating this afternoon, just in, not even in the message. This is a message I was supposed to preach last week, and I didn't get a chance to do that, so I'm preaching it this week. So I wasn't even necessarily meditating on this, but I was just meditating on the goodness of God. And, you know, about some other things, but the Lord was showing me, you know, he created man, he created Adam, right? And then he planted a garden. And he put man in the midst of this garden. We know that there was a lot of things on the earth at the time, but what he put in the garden was special. Amen? You know, even a lot of people think, you know, they might think, well, why did he put the tree in the garden and stuff like that? Because those trees were special to the Lord. Amen? They meant something to him. If they didn't, he wouldn't have created it. Amen? But he put these special things all together in the garden, but one of the things he put in the garden was supply. Amen? Yeah. One of the things he put in the garden was a promise, really. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that God gives us promises. Because without the promises of God, what do we have to stand on? If we don't have a promise, then we have nothing that we can have faith about. Faith all stems from the fact that we have promises. We have promises that Jesus came, lived here on earth, praise the Lord, lived a perfect life here on earth, died for our sins, praise the Lord, was buried, rose again, glory to God, is now seated. And this is a promise to us. And that if anyone should decide that they'll accept that and receive that, that they too can be saved, that they can have access to God, amen? And we should be excited about these things. These are promises that the Lord has given us, amen? But promises are the things that keep us going. They should be the thing that keep us going. There's a lot of people, you know, actually, a lot of people that come into the church for the first time and they don't know anything about God, they come in with hope, but they don't have a promise yet, amen? They always get stirred and excited when they start getting a promise, praise the Lord, amen? You know, if I came up to you and said, I promise you I'm going to give you $1 million, you'd be excited about it, wouldn't you, amen? Well, Jesus has given us so much more than that. He's given us so many more abundant promises, glory to God. And so it's up to us to grab hold of those promises and run with them, amen? Praise the Lord. But we're going to be talking about a warning to the rich, amen? It matters how Christians think about themselves. It matters how you and I think about ourselves and each other. It matters how we see ourselves, amen? Because the work of the Lord does not get done unless people who have faith, amen? People who have faith, you and I, we have faith, unless we are going to step out in that faith and do it. Yeah. The work of the Lord won't get done. Yeah. In fact, one of the problems that the Lord was showing me, one of the problems with our nation right now, the biggest problem with our nation, is that the church fails to see what the church is. Yeah. They fail to see what their purpose is and know what their purpose is. Yeah. Glory to God. Now, we have a purpose in coming together for church, don't we? Yeah. And that purpose isn't always what we think. You know, there's some places that think that church is about coming together and worshiping. And there is an aspect of worship that comes together. We should come together and learn how to worship. And certainly there should be times of worship services and stuff like that. But that's not the purpose of us sitting here. The purpose of us sitting here is to come hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Glory to God. The worshiping should be an aspect of our life that happens all the time. We don't need, you know, a lot of people get this confused. They say, well, I don't need church to have God. Yes, you do. Praise the Lord. You don't need church to worship God. You can worship God on your own. But you do need church to grow in God. You do need church to hear from God. You do need, not that church is the only way you'll hear, but you need it. Amen. We need this coming together. Why? Because Jesus set it up that way. I said Jesus set it up that way. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that's free, no charge, but glory to God. Let's get into the message here. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 8. That's Old Testament. 2 Corinthians is the New Testament, in case you forgot. You know where 2 Corinthians is, right? Right after 1 Corinthians, that's right. 2 Corinthians 8. We're going to go to verse 9. Praise the Lord. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Glory to God. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking what a lot of people think, that this isn't talking about rich financially. This is talking about spiritually rich. But that's not what this is talking about. We're going to see it, of course, as we break down the scriptures, as we read it in context. I purposely pulled it out just out to read it out of context, just because we for that purpose. But we're going to see that God sees us as rich. It matters how God sees us. Amen. Anybody agree with that? God looked at us and he saw something of value. Even though nobody else would look at us and see any value, but God looked at us and saw something of value. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us, Jesus to live for, to show us how to live, amen, and then to die for us, because he saw something of value in it. He saw something worth saving, amen. It matters how God sees us, amen. And if God sees us a certain way, then it matters how we see us. In fact, one problem I've seen often with Christians is that they don't see themselves the way they should see themselves, because they come in from maybe a broken past and they come into the church and they still see themselves as broken. They still see themselves as sinners. Now, I know that, you know, that there is an aspect of truth to the fact that none of us is perfect. We will probably all fall short of the glory of God. We're probably all going to sin. But we're not supposed to look at ourselves as sinners. We're supposed to look at ourselves as redeemed. We're supposed to look at ourselves as blood bought. We're supposed to look at ourselves as some, now, praise the Lord. That's where thankfulness comes in too, because we don't get cocky about it. Amen. We don't go, well, I'm just, you know, I'm better than you because of this or that. No, we have to stay humble and keep that at the forefront of our mind. But it matters how we see ourselves. Amen. And we need to see ourselves as rich. Now, rich here is not what you think it is. Amen. It's not necessarily, you know, we think of Donald Trump or somebody like that, he's rich. Amen. But that's not exactly what it means. Rich literally means wealthy, abounding in material resources, abounding, abundantly supplied, abounding in Christian virtues and eternal possessions. Glory to God. But I love that about that abounding and abundantly supplied. You know, only in America are the poor obese. Amen. And if somebody is obese because they have extra, not because they're like, you know, have some kind of sickness from being malnourished or something like that, but if they have that, there's extra. There's always a way to get more. Amen. So often we've been given, that we've been blessed with this wonderful country, we've been blessed with resources that so many other places don't have. And yet because of our kind of our spoiled American attitudes, we kind of lose sight of that. We kind of forget that God has actually made us rich. And he's made us this way, he's made this country this way for a purpose. It should speak to us. Because if it speak to us, then we would act differently, amen? Now, I got to thinking about this. I was thinking about Native Americans in that culture. You know, we have right across the street here, we have an ancient site across this road on the side. Maybe not everybody knows about it, but they call it the Dingenfelter Circle. I think I said that somewhat right anyways. It's an ancient civilization area that they found, whether it was a little town or something like that. And at some point, I think it's been bought by some group, and eventually they plan on doing an archaeological dig there. I think it's somewhere, I'm guessing, somewhere around 3,000 years old or something like that. It's old. It's an ancient site. But one of the things that we know about these Native Americans back then is that, you know, when they find these tools and stuff that they use to take care of things, to hunt, to dig, to make things, whatever. But all of these tools that they found were handmade. You know, they weren't abundantly supplied. Now, maybe they had resources around them, but everything that they wanted, they had to make happen. But you know, in this, for us today, we don't really live that way. We have a lot of access to a lot of things, don't we? You know, if we want food, we ain't even got to hunt it. We just go to the store and buy it. Now, even if you don't like it, you know, we have some farmers in here and stuff like that, and people that can grow their own food or grow things that make their own food or however they're going to do it. But still, they have, if they just were tired of doing that, they can go to the store and buy their own food. And so we are abundantly supplied in that area. One of the reasons that the Lord set this nation up was so that it could be a provider and a promoter of the gospel. Amen. And we see this all through Scripture, actually. As we look at how God dealt with his people, he always wanted to bring them into America is a sort of promised land. Not a sort of, it is a promised land, amen? It is God's blessing, and it has been God's blessing upon his people for the promotion of the kingdom of God, amen? At least that's what the original intent. Maybe not all the people's intent, but that's what is God's intent in it, amen? And so we understand this, but the same thing is with the Israelites is they failed to see and understand what God was doing. They kind of always reverted to this place of leaving God and looking elsewhere for things. They never saw what they really had in front of them. And as Christians today, we have to understand, especially Christians in this nation, we have to understand that God has blessed us and put us here for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to be generous. Glory to God. That purpose is to show the world the generosity of Christ. Amen. Because God has poured out in our lives. Amen. And looking back on this scripture here, it says, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Through this, his act, you have become rich. He's put his nature on you through the actions and what he has done. And of course, we know that he did that spiritually, amen. He provided for things for us spiritually, but he provided much more than that. You know, the Bible even tells us that, you know, a soldier doesn't go to war at his own cost. God isn't sending you out at your own cost. We have to see our resources as something that is God, first, number one, that is God-given, but that they have a purpose to them. Now, in that, you know, God doesn't mind if you have nice things for yourself. He doesn't mind if you're blessed in your life. Amen. But that should not be the focus of anyone's life. And, of course, there's that perverted prosperity gospel that I am, and if you've been around me for any length of time, you know I can't stand it. But that perverted prosperity gospel that just says, oh, you just start believing God for whatever you want and all these things, you know, they'll just come to you and stuff like that. And I'm also not the opposite of that, which is the extreme poverty gospel that, oh, the Lord gives and takes away and that he just wants to remove from you and that it's better, you know, to not be rich because you know what Jesus said about the rich man and a rich man and, you know, it's easier for a rich man to go through or a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven and stuff like that. And of course, that's also taken out of context. And so we have to balance these things out. But we have to understand that God has supplied us to be a supply. He has supplied us for a greater purpose. But so often we stop at this place because we look at the natural things that are around us. We look at where we may be naturally limited. And that keeps us from being what God has called us to be, which is a generous people. We need to live in such a way that we reflect God's goodness all the time. The Bible tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God as it's reflected in your life. When Jesus said that he would put, or when the Bible says that he would put the Lord's glory on us, what is that supposed to mean? That's the goodness of God. God's glory is his goodness. It's the brightness, the shining light. My wife and I were talking about this on the way up here that you know, literally light makes the dark disappear. What do we know if you're a photography? We have a photographer in here and she's around here somewhere. We have photographers around and they understand, you know, if you understand old time photography, not the, maybe digital is a little bit different, but there's still things that, apply, but there was a dark room they would go into, and then everything had to be dark, and then they would expose the film to light, and what would that would reveal what was there. Amen. Yeah. The purpose of this message is to reveal to your heart who God has made you to be, what God has made you to be, Because the hindrances, the things that stop us so often, is that idea in our mind that we're not able or we can't because we don't have a supply. But we understand through reading the Word and studying the Word that God's supply very rarely shows up ahead of time. There's a requirement to get into God's supply, and that requirement is called faith. Amen. What did God show the nation of Israel as he was bringing them to the promised land? He said, go spy out the land. Go look and see what's in the land. And what was it? It was a supply. When you look at the what they were told to go look at, all those things were about making fat and happy. Right? That's really what it was, right? Am I wrong in saying that? That's what everything, you know, they're talked about the food and the all the things that would be a blessing to them. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm sure that if Lamborghinis existed back when the Israelites were going into the promised land, there probably would have been a few of those laying around too. Amen? Because there was, what was it? The promised land was everything that they could hope for, everything that they could dream for. Amen? That's what God was bringing them into. And why did he do that? He didn't just do that for them. He did that as an example for us. Because God wanted us to see, well, wait a minute. If God would supply for them, then he will for me too. If he would provide for them, then he would for me too. But we also know this, that the promised land didn't come without opposition, did it? They said that there was giants in the land. But God said, it doesn't matter what's before you that's trying to block you. When I say that something belongs to you, you have to see it as yours. That was the whole issue that he had with the children of Israel. Because he told them what was theirs, and they wouldn't look at it like he was telling the truth. They didn't look at it like it was actually theirs. They said it belongs to someone else, and that someone else is bigger than who I am. Well, how many times is God directing you, or is God doing things in your midst, and you're like, well, what's before me is too big. I can't get over that. I can't get past that. I can't surpass those mountains or those giants. Wow. See, it's always the giants. It's always the things that are looming over us that keep us from the promises of God. But the Bible is clear that if we have to look at it differently than they did, yeah. That we must look at it like Caleb did. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. God has something more for us, but until we see it, we're not going to get into it. I want to read 2 Corinthians 8, 9 in the Amplified. It says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes, he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Amen. Not just supplied, but abundantly supplied. Amen. Through his actions of losing it all, your action becomes supplied. You can say you believe, but remember that. But you also have to remember that faith without works is dead. Often people's supply is dried up because their giving is. And when I'm saying their giving, I'm not saying about how much you put in the church plate, but I'm talking about your lifestyle of giving. We have to live a lifestyle of giving. Generosity should be pouring out of us at all times in everything. You know, my wife was talking about, often the opportunity is when you're standing at line at Walmart or some store or something like that. You're standing at line in line, and your opportunity to show God's goodness, maybe the only thing that you could do for that person in that moment is to buy their groceries. Yeah. Or maybe it's to buy them a gift card or to give them something or to do something. That might be your only opportunity. That might be your only door to open it. But so many people don't take that door. They don't open it because they think, well, if I do this, I won't have anything left. If I do this, or it's all gone, or maybe I don't have. See, that holding back is the exact same thing that the Israelites did when they looked into the promised land and they said, we can't go in. Right. That the inhabitants will take us. Because that's saying that my God is not truly a supply to me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, just in case you didn't believe me, we're going to read this scripture in context. Amen? Because I'm a firm believer in context. We can pull scriptures out of context. You know, one of the ones, actually, I was talking about Philippians 4:19 over there in Philippians 4:13. So many people take that scripture out of context. They say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But we know that that's not the truth if you know the word. If you are in the will and plan of God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you're not, Christ ain't going to strengthen you. You probably aren't going to get much done. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We need to be in the plan and will of God, and it matters. Amen? Part of the plan and will of God is generosity. How do we know? Because Jesus dealt with generosity or the lack thereof. Paul dealt with generosity or the lack thereof. Glory to God over and over and over again. In fact, throughout the Bible, we see that over and over and over again. The Bible has a lot to say about finances, and finances is probably the number one area where people get offended. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I've learned not to care about it because I've seen how our lives have been blessed by being obedient, and it's in that lack of, or that place of disobedience where people miss it. Amen? Glory to God. You know, I was just distracted by something I was thinking of. Reverend Greer, he recently said this, and I love this. He said, you know, because we're looking at a lot of things. Like we're doing a project at our house, and we had to buy some lumber. And some of the lumber is like 3-4 times what it was costing a year ago. Yeah. But and this is a very real aspect of life. So what do? There's a temptation to do what the world does and to get into fear. When the coronavirus first took off and was shutting everything down, there was a temptation to get into fear, wasn't there? Not just for the sickness, but how are we going to eat? How are we going to do these things, right? Yeah. My God shall supply all my needs. He didn't say based on whether or not the economy is doing well. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He said that he would supply all our needs. Amen. Well, what Reverend Greer says, he's like, if syrup is $10 a sop, then I'm going to have all the sops that I want. Praise the Lord. We have to have that mindset. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. My God shall supply if I am in covenant and I am in obedience to him. Now, if you're in disobedience, there's another story. But you don't want to be in disobedience, amen, just because it might save you some money, because it really won't, amen? Okay, 2 Corinthians 8, we're going to start verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So remember, we have talked about this many times in case you didn't know, but the grace of God is literally his ability that he puts on us that we didn't have, right? That's what grace. If you have grace to be saved, what is it? You didn't have the ability to save yourself through the grace of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. By grace you have been saved, right? Ephesians tells us. So by grace we have been saved. We understand that. What is that? That's the ability you didn't have before. And so now he's saying, you know, Paul's telling the Corinthians, he's like, moreover, brethren, I want to make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Yeah. What is that? He's going to say, tell us, amen? That in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So we see here that these churches were poor. They had nothing. Glory to God. It says their deep poverty. It wasn't just okay, we had a bad month. Deep poverty extends more than just a month. Amen? For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. So this is talking about a gift that they were given. There was a work being done, whatever it was. I don't know if we fully know it. Maybe we do, and I just don't know it, but it doesn't matter. But there was a work being done, and they were saying, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Amen? Yeah. Imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Notice that the giving was ministering, was a fellowship with the saints. Think about that. You know, over in Acts 2, it talks about they continued in one accord, right? In the fellowship. Praise the Lord. What is that? This is generosity. The early church was known for its generosity. They would sell off all things that they have, and they would bring them to the apostles, and they'd say, here, just distribute. This is extra in my life. Take this and give it to... But here we see people doing it out of their poverty. Glory to God. Never say that you can't do something that God is directing you to do. And see, where the reason that I'm doing this is because the open door for God to get more to you is through your generosity. You're willing to step out in faith and give, to be a blessing to people. Amen. Now, this isn't, there's many ways of giving of ourselves, of course, and all of these can be said. There's times where we were giving out of our poverty. We had nothing. And so I was giving with my labor. I was doing things like that just because that was all that I could do. But God blessed us and increased us because of that. Amen. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Still talking about the same thing. But notice that the abounding in the grace is not up to God. The abounding of grace is up to us. We decide how much grace we're going to walk in. How can I say that? Because God has given us all that he's going to give us. Praise the Lord. Go over to Romans. Hold your place there. Praise Jesus. Go to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God already did all that he's going to do. Amen. See, the thing is people are so often, they're seeking God in prayer for things that he's already given. He's given us the ability. I said he's given us the ability. Amen. He gave us the faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. We decide what to do with it. Do we allow the faith or do we grow the faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. But see, there'll be rejection to this kind of message. There'll be people who will resist this type of thing because we're talking about giving of themselves. I don't like it when you touch my wallet. Yeah, yeah. Listen, if you understand the truth, you understand that everything you have doesn't belong to you anyways. It all belongs to him. Yeah. And so if you withhold when he's telling you to give, you're withholding because you think you're keeping something that belongs to you. It's not yours. Yeah. Glory to God. See, There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end leads to death. The Bible has so much to say about this. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This isn't really flying through here. This isn't a message that's being received extremely well. How you receive is how you will receive. So you can either take it as the truth because the word says it, or you can reject it and live the same miserable life you always did. Praise the Lord. Because what God gives us to free us up is faith. It's an act of faith. Faith without works is dead. When God tells you to do something, then you have to put action to it. You have to put action to it. You decide whether or not the grace is going to operate in your life. God doesn't decide. God has given you the grace. He's given you the ability. He's given you all that he's going to give you. But so often Christians are getting on their knees and they're pleading with God. He says, just be faithful with what I told you to do. You do the word and you watch it change your life, or you can believe that it doesn't work and keep going without, because you can get on your knees day after day after day and have nothing change because the instruction has already been given. We decide whether or not we're going to walk out the plan of God or not. It is not up to God. I have had it up to here with hearing Christians out there talking about how God is doing this and God is doing that bad in their lives, or he's not answering there, not answering. If God isn't answering you, there's one reason. You haven't connected with him somewhere, or you haven't heard the answer. See, the answer is in the Word. The answer tells us. These Macedonians, they understood. They were abounding in the grace of God. They understood that they abounded in the grace of God. They understood that they could do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They understood that even their poverty didn't have to keep them back, that their decision to do right was going to make all the difference in the world. They decided, hallelujah, that they were going to walk in faith. And you decide whether or not you're going to walk in faith. Glory to God. One of the wonderful things that I love about the Bible tells us that Jesus, who was anointed by God, did what? He taught the gospel to the poor. Why do you suppose he did that? Because it's the gospel that teaches people how to increase in life. Not just in finances, not just in stuff, but just in life. It's the gospel that tells you how to do it. God isn't going to come into your life and all of a sudden magically make you. See, everybody is waiting for the pixie dust God who is going to sprinkle something on them and then they can just stand up and now be a faith giant. But we understand this, that all the faith giants that are talked about in Scripture are all people who chose to obey God. And most of them were people that had no place. They were the worst of the worst. They're the ones that weren't obedient to anything. But there was something in them that made them obey God. And when they did, God backed them up. The power of God is with us all the time. We have the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that the same Holy Ghost that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. Well, if that same Holy Ghost dwells within us, then what can't we do? What are we limited in? We have everything we need. See, our prayers to God are not meant to sit there and, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. God taught us how to help ourselves. Our prayers are for people who don't know this. Our prayers are supposed to be for a world that has no idea. But the Christians are all running around. You have Christian song after Christian song after Christian song talking about how beat up they are and how defeated they are. And maybe someday God might do something, or maybe God doesn't want to hear. Maybe he won't listen. Maybe he won't answer. The Bible says that he answers all the time. Glory to God. Seek and you'll find. Ask. Praise the Lord. Seek, knock, at, right? Praise the Lord. I got the wrong order, but you understand. That's Matthew 7. It talks about this. Glory to God. He says, Jesus said that himself. If you're not getting answers, you're either ignoring something in Scripture, you're ignoring something with him. Praise the Lord. God always answers us. He always, now when I say he always answers us, glory to God. It's not always the answer that we want. But we have to be willing when we ask or when we seek an answer. We have to be willing to get the answer that we don't want. See, the problem with the church today is people have grown too much accustomed to just hearing what they want. Just tell me what I want to hear or I don't want to hear it. See, that's how people pick churches. Well, I was going to, there's people that sat in these seats. They were hearing the word of God and then chose to leave because they didn't like what they were hearing, and what they were hearing was out of the word of God. And how do I know? Because I would sit there and talk with them about it. I would point to it. This is what the word says. This isn't about interpretation. Look at the word. Read what it says. Doesn't it say that they were giving out of their poverty? Right? Doesn't it say that it was the grace of God abounding in their lives that they were giving out of their poverty? Praise the Lord. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your bosom? Praise the Lord. Who are those men that are going to pour into your bosom? Faithful men and women of God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Where was I in there? Does anyone remember? But as you abound in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. You see that you abound in this grace also. you see that you abound in this grace also. You choose to abound in grace. What grace do you want activated in your life? Really, you can apply this to anything. It doesn't have to stay with financial things or giving or blessing other people or anything like that. What grace do you... Doesn't the Bible say that whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap? Isn't that what the scripture says? Or did I just make that up in my mind? That's exactly what it says. Whatever a man sows, that he reaps. I don't see any limitation put on that. Whatever a man sows, that he reaps. Whatever a man sows, you sow poverty-minded thinking, you're going to reap poverty-minded blessing. In other words, you're not going to reap anything at all. Glory to God. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and here's where the scripture is, right in the middle of giving scriptures. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage, and not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. It starts with what you have. God isn't telling you, like if you don't have $1 million, God isn't saying go rack up credit card debt. Because anybody who gives on credit cards is dumb. Yep. Yeah. Why? Because that's not giving. You're borrowing, somebody else is giving. You're borrowing from somebody. There is no such thing as giving. There are few times, where the Lord will inspire somebody to do that, but it's more rare than it ever is common. Amen. Very few times, and when he does instruct somebody to do so, he'll also come back in and wipe it out. Amen. You can't give on credit. Don't go taking out loans to give. But there may be a completion out of what you have. Amen. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Notice it says, if there was first a willing mind, there has to be a willing mind. Without a willing mind, you're never going to get anywhere. This is with all things with faith. And again, this isn't just giving, this isn't giving to the church. This is just giving in general. It is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. I have to be a generous person because my God is generous. If I want the Lord to increase my life, I have to be somebody who stewards my life well. Yeah. Amen? You have to be willing to put out before you're ever going to see what's in. Amen. And then, of course, Luke 6:38, as I quoted, I already said it, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. The end part of the scripture is very important because it says the same as it does over there in Galatians. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure you use. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I see people do this all the time. They'll be cheap. They want to be cheap with people. They want to be, they don't want to, they want to withhold. The same measure you use will be measured back to you. It matters how we are. Listen, if you're in a marriage and you measure out just a little bit of yourself, don't be surprised when all you get back is a little bit of them. Not everybody's going to be super spiritual, right? You have to make a decision in your heart. If you want increase in any area of your life, you have to be willing to increase. You have to be willing to step out into that grace. Why? Because the grace of God is already upon us. We're not getting more grace. We've been given all the grace. He's already given to us all the grace. We don't need more grace. This is why I was so thankful that I was taught this. But this is why I don't agree with deliverance ministries. Because true ministry is deliverance. That's what the ministry of Jesus Christ is. I don't need to be delivered from anything because I've already been delivered. Amen? Praise the Lord. I said I've already been delivered. Glory to God. What am I waiting for it to kick in? So sometimes we have to take authority. There's an authority ministry. There's things we can learn about our authority. Amen? And we can stand on our authority. But it's the same thing. See, this is why so much of the body of Christ is just not doing much, because what they're doing is they're waiting for something to happen. You understand? They're waiting for somebody else to kick something off, or they're waiting for somebody else to stir the pot. Praise the Lord. I remember this, we used to have some friends. We'd sit around and we'd talk, you know, and we'd daydream about things really like, and somebody said, if God makes me a millionaire, I'll pay off the churches. They'd say things like that. Yeah. And I remember when the understanding finally came to me, no, you wouldn't. Because if you're not trying to now, you're not going to when you get to be a millionaire either. If your heart is to pay off the church, the Bible says, if your heart is to do something, that you start doing it. Yeah. You start working towards that. Praise the Lord. My heart is to be a blessing to people. Are you a blessing to people now? Do you look for every opportunity to bless people now? If you don't, then you're not going to be a blessing when you come into your own. Why? Because the Bible tells us that first you have to be faithful and wield his least before he's going to make you ruler over much, right? Glory to God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. Praise Jesus. Religious devils keep people in places of bondage. I said religious devils. People don't realize that a lot of the devils that we fight with in the church are religious devils. Getting people to hold to their religion over what the Word of God says. Amen? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Praise Jesus. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. See, this is one of the reasons why we have to understand what the Bible's, if Jesus has already made us rich, if through his poverty we've already been made rich, then we need to really take heed to this. And why is this important? When these scriptures right here were the foundation for the message. Because when I was reading in here, first of all, you see that not trust in uncertain riches. That's worldly riches. You know, the stock market going up and down, that's worldly stuff. You trust in all that. Joshua was just telling me about this one thing. Was it the dog coin or something like that or whatever it's called? And it's a cryptocurrency, I think, is what it is. What is that? Well, if you don't know, you'll research it later. But it was started, I was just reading a little bit about it. It was started as a joke. And right now, it's like this thing that's just taking off and it's making all these people money. But it was started as a joke. So what is that? Uncertain riches. Yeah. Maybe that will be big. Maybe it'll fly way up high. And then maybe it'll crash. Our dollar bill, it's been the standard for the world. Yeah. But you just keep printing money, printing money, printing money. All of a sudden, our dollar bill ain't worth anything. There's no faith in it. Yeah. And guess what? It tanks. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, milk is $10 a gallon. And you know, a 2x4 is $10 a board instead of $2 a board and stuff like that. And this is stuff we're seeing, right? Why? Because it's uncertain riches. Listen, your job is giving, it's paying you according to uncertain riches. So if you're moved by what you see there, you will never work for the kingdom of God. You'll never be able to do anything in the kingdom of God because you will always be limited by what you think your supply is. But if you see yourself the way that God sees you, that he's already abundantly supplied you, what's the abundant supply? Listen, would you rather have $1 million up front or would you rather have a never-ending supply? I'd rather have the never-ending supply because here's the thing. You could get $1 million up front and somebody could steal it. You could get $1 million up front, put it, you don't trust the banks, you put it under your mattress, house burns down, now you have nothing. But if somebody's giving you a constant supply, it's always there. It doesn't matter. Okay, burn up that much, there's more coming, right? That's what a constant supply is. That's what God has provided for us. He's provided the promise of a constant supply to those who trust in him, to those who believe him. You either believe him or you don't. He hasn't guaranteed you that you'll be a millionaire, but he has guaranteed you that you'll always have a supply with enough left over to get it given to every good work. What do you determine is a good work? Then according to scripture, you've already got the supply to fund it. But see, so many people, they withhold Because they think that, well, I don't know how I'm going to. Keep withholding, you'll keep having nothing. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They withhold from themselves, and they keep having nothing. But here we see this, and it's so important to look at this. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation. This is the important thing. What we do here is the foundation of how we live there. Now, we know that there's not going to be any sorrow in heaven, but we do know that there are riches in heaven, there's crowns, there's things in heaven, rewards in heaven for how we live here. These things are the foundation of those things. Amen? And ultimately to lay hold of eternal life. If you don't give, can that keep you out of heaven? I don't think it's going to keep you out of heaven. But it certainly is going to make how you get there either enjoyable or not. Amen? The Bible tells us that we should live in joy. I've never seen a person who is trying to make ends meet living in joy. I've never seen a person who's worried about how they're going to pay the next bill living in joy. Never seen it. I've never seen a person who's not sure how they're going to do one more. I've never seen that person full of joy. Joy is a choice. It's also a grace. And it's a fruit of the Spirit which we've been given. See, you have to know something, because if you know that you're supplied, then there's no sadness to be had. There's only time between now and then, but there's joy knowing that you have a supply. But see, people just don't see that. Haughty means to be arrogant, proud, or high-minded. Amen. James, I'm just going to read this to you. James 2:15 through 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So here we see this. James is telling us that if you won't do the thing that you're trying to, if you won't be the blood. See, everybody, they have it on their heart. I actually had somebody say this to me once. The church should do more for you, Pastor. Do you want to know something? It sounds like that's on your heart. Yeah. If that's on your heart, you need to be the one doing it. Right. What do you think the church is? Yeah. And I'm not saying that because of me. I didn't say that to them because I wasn't going to try to milk money or anything out of people. But my point is this. See, so often we're like, this is on my heart, somebody else should do it. This is what should be done. Listen, if it's on your heart, if you got something stirring on the inside of you, we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you too. You got something stirring on the inside of you, if you are like at all a Christian, right? And you got something stirring on the inside of you that's a good work, you probably need to go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, how do I need to make this happen? See, so many people, they're passing it off. Oh, this is a great thing. Everybody else should do it. Yeah. You know, we should, somebody isn't mowing the church lawn good enough. Well, I walked into the church and it wasn't clean, or this wasn't, the toilet wasn't clean. Find yourself a toilet brush and start swirling the bowl. Yeah. See, people have this idea that they, just because they have a thought that it's for someone else to take care of, but that's half the problem with the world. Yeah. The world is waiting for everybody else to do what everybody else should be doing. Yeah. Amen. When you have something on your heart, you do it. You be a blessing. Amen. Amen. If you say depart, be warm and filled, and that's essentially saying the same thing. Depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? In other words, if you didn't do it, see, because you didn't see yourself as having the grace. Maybe you said, maybe it would be so much as this. Maybe it's like, well, if I give them food, I'm not going to eat. Right. You can call that a fast. Wow. It's time to fast. Yeah. See, in our minds, we should have this mindset that it's always about doing more. It's doing what God has called us to. And see, here's the thing. God won't let a person like that starve. He never does. Amen? Amen? 1 Timothy 6:8. We're going to close there. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Content is when you come to that place where it doesn't mean that that's... See, people twist these scriptures too, and they say, oh, see, this is all that you're supposed to have. That's not what this is saying. This isn't saying you can't desire anything more or have... Because I'm going to tell you right now, just as I said, if you look at anybody in this country, they're already wealthy compared to the world standards. So if you have anything, you're already doing good, even if you don't have as much as someone else. But it's when people's contentment is robbed because they don't have what they think that they should have or be at that level. And that's kind of the issue. You see that pushing in our country today. If you don't have what you think is owed to you, then somebody else should give you what's theirs. But see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, out of your poverty give, because then he'll increase you. See, there's a difference in trusting the world or trusting God. The world doesn't understand this kind of teaching, and unfortunately, most of the church doesn't either. When you go out into the world, what does the world see? Do they see somebody who is, you know, always just looking to cut corners? Or do they see somebody who is always looking to just, to just be cheap? Or do they see somebody who's generous? Do you reflect your Heavenly Father? And we have to ask ourselves this all the time, whether it's with money, whether it's with anything else, whether it's in our actions. Would people know that I'm a believer in Christ because of the way that I act, because of the way that I live? Furthermore, will people judge my God wrong because of the way that I act? Well, I just don't ever have anything. Well, then why would I want to serve your God? He gives and takes away? Yeah, sure, I want to come on board with that. That sounds good. I'll give up all the fun things in my life because that's the way the world looks at it. And I'll let this God give and take away. You understand? See, these things don't mesh with the world. That's because the world has like that much more intelligence than the church. The church is dumb to say these things because they don't know who their God is. We need to start looking at who our God says he is and then start trusting him and believing him for it. Amen?